in America. Tickets are on sale now. Please visit the website, vlaff.org, to learn more.
This is CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus in Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are joined today by Savon Champel. He is a psychic, clairvoyant, medium, healer. He works with the angels, and I've known him on Facebook and YouTube for a number of years. He has a YouTube channel. I'm sure we'll talk about that, and he is joined us today to talk about the series that I'm doing about forgiveness, compassion, radical acceptance, and all of that. So we're going to dive into that today. But before we do, Savon is going to open the discussion with a little intentional prayer or meditation. Take it away.
All right. So I just want to say to all the listeners, just close your eyes and just take a few deep breaths and just allow yourself to be centered in your own beingness. And we're just going to set the intention and ask Spirit to step forward and the angels to just surround all the listeners with love, with healing, and that this show would be a show that would bring forth healing and healing information and wisdom that would help heal the hearts of all of those that are listening, help bring information to them that they might be seeking in order to let go of anything that they may be struggling with in their personal life. And so it is.
Thank you so much, Savon. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show after all of these years that we've been social media friends.
I know it's been a few years. It's been a few years, but you know what? Everything happens in divine timing, right? And so I'm grateful to be here. And I've loved your work. I've followed you for years. And a lot of other healers and clairvoyants I've known through Facebook have all been on your show, like Anna. And so I'm privileged to be here to just share.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yay. Thank you so much. And before we started the show, you actually shared that you used to be in the military. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey? I mean, this is amazing. I never would have guessed that.
You know, people, I've had the craziest life. Like most people that do what I do, you know, they'll start with they were born seeing spirits and talking to the angels, and they've had it their whole life. None of that is my story. Like I grew up in the South Bronx. I graduated from high school. Then I went straight into the Air Force. I was a medic in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force for 8 years. I lived overseas in Korea. And then after I got out, I went to college and I got a bachelor's degree in computer science, which is way, way, way to the left of anything spiritual and intuitive and metaphysical. And I did that for quite some time until I had my spiritual awakening. And it just kind of took over my life. The angels just took over my life and spirit took over. And eventually I left the corporate world to step into my healing practice, which is what I do now. So it's been a really interesting journey. But everything that I've done up until this point has actually prepared me for the work that I do now, because it really allows me to relate to a lot of people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different ethnicities. And it also allows me to understand the human experience. You know, I think one of the greatest things that I'm able to bring into the work that I do is I'm able to relate to different people from all walks of life due to the different background, the different kind of background that I've had, and the things that I've gone through in my life. So I love what I do, you know, and I love being able to help people.
That is so amazing. And on your website, SavonChampel.com, I'm going to post a link to that below on YouTube, as well as a link to his YouTube channel, because Savon is always doing amazing videos and just so connected and deep and beautiful. I really should watch more of them. I used to watch them all the time, and then you know how it is with social media. It gets to be a bit much. But it's interesting because on your website, you mentioned that you went through depression. And for me, in my healing journey, when I started this show and for many years of the show, I was deeply, deeply depressed. And I started out seeking out this spirituality stuff as a way to heal. And I really no longer, I'm open, but I don't really believe in angels anymore. I kind of became disillusioned. So I'd love to know a little bit about more how you came to believe in angels and what makes you think that they're present.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great question. And I love getting questions like that because I learned a long time ago, just from other teachers and mentors, to not believe anything until you actually experience it for yourself, especially in the spiritual community. You know, just because things are spiritual and you hear other healers or intuitives talking about something doesn't make it so, and it doesn't make it the absolute truth until you experience it for yourself, and then you know that it's true for you. So, and I've also had clients through the years that have looked at me dead in the eye and said, look, I don't believe in angels. I don't know about all this stuff. What do you got to tell me? And what I say and what I've learned over the years is I simply say to people, angels are just that voice in your head that's guiding you in a loving way to make the right, most aligned choice for yourself in the moment and whatever it is that you're doing. And so I just invite people to let go of what they think they know about angels, let go of, you know, what's been put out there in the media in terms of, you know, these fluffy beings with angel wings that are always smiling and everything's always beautiful and perfect. I try to invite people to kind of put that to the side and just be open to the idea that perhaps there's something around them, there's something that watches over them that has their best interests at heart, and it's always guiding them through their intuition, through their heart connection. And if I make it really simple and clean without putting all the other labels on it and identities on it, then people are able to receive it. And they'll say, you know what, that makes sense to me. Because I say, look, your angels are always speaking to you through your thoughts, emotions, and feelings. It's up to you whether you want to listen to it or not. And then I'll go on to say, think back to a time where you met someone, you met a person, or you were in an experience, or you walked into a room, and immediately you just felt off. You felt like something was off with this person. I don't know why. I don't know this person. I don't know anything about them, but something about them doesn't feel right to me. Something about this situation or this environment that I am, just, I don't feel safe. I don't feel good about it. The energy feels off. I said, in that moment, when you're receiving that internal feedback, think of that as your angel, because the word angel just means messenger. And when I make it, when I explain it in a way that's a little bit more grounded and relatable to people, then they're like, oh, well, I get information like that all the time. I'm always hearing a voice that tells me what to do, but I don't listen to it. And then I realize I should have listened, and they start to laugh, but then they realize and they make the connection. And as long as I can help people tune in to their inner GPS, which is what I tend to call it sometimes, I've done my job. I don't need to, nor do I want to force anyone to believe in angels. I like all that fluffy woo-woo stuff because that's just me. Like, I have a crazy imagination. Like, even now as an adult, like, I'm always watching cartoons and movies about unicorns and just all that stuff. I'm into that. I like that. But I get that that's not everybody's cup of tea. It doesn't matter. What matters is if I can lead people and inspire them to go within to their own inner being, inner GPS system, the divine within, whatever label you want to put on it, I've done my job and I've empowered them to make choices from that clear space. And that's kind of like how I see my role as someone that does work with the angels. You know, because there's so many people that talk about angels, right? There's angel healers, there's angel tarot card readers, there's angel channelers, and so much great information out there. And so I can see how a person that might be a little disillusioned or a person that's beginning their path might not be sure what to believe, what's real, what's fact. And I just try to keep it simple, like really simple. And I find that people are able to ingest it and understand it a lot more when I do it that way. I hope that, did that answer the question?
Yes, Savon, okay. Thank you so much. I just want to clarify so I make sure that I'm understanding. It sounds like you're saying, please correct me if I'm wrong, that just like angels, it's kind of like the label that humans, one of the labels that humans put on that essence, that energy, yeah, as a way of understanding it. Yeah. Like some people think God is this, yeah, man in the sky, and some people, right, think angels have wings, and other people see it as just the energy, as our intuition, as...
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you think of the source or the universe as this massive just energy that exists everywhere, to me, angels are just an expression of that energy, one expression, like a rainbow, right? And maybe angels are the color yellow. And then there's like, you know, 20, 50 bazillion other colors that can show up. Some people, instead of saying angels, they say spirit guides. Some people say my loved ones. Some people say my higher self. Some people say it's my gut. So it doesn't matter what label you put on it. Just understand that everyone has this internal GPS that's always guiding them to make the highest, most aligned choice in any moment. And yeah, there's all these narratives built around angels, but I invite people to explore those narratives, see what resonates for them, and hold on to only that which resonates to them, and dump the rest. So when I speak about angels and my experience, I can only speak from what's true for me. I really knew for a fact that they were angels because they came to me and they saved me. I was going to commit suicide. I didn't want to live. I literally said every word in the book that I could say to God because I was so upset and so angry, so disconnected from myself. And I said, look, if there, whatever the hell is out there, like if there's something out there, it needs to show up now, because if there's nothing that exists and there's nothing out there, then what's the point of me living? Because I don't want to live and I need to end this. And in that moment, I had my spiritual awakening, and an angel came to me. And I saw an angel. I saw the shadow come down from the ceiling. The lights were out in my room. And I saw these wings open up. Now, that's how it showed up for me. It may not show up for people that way, but that's what needed to show up for me. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what I needed to see and experience to help pull me out of that state of disconnection, to bring me back into my alignment. Other people may have other experiences with angels or with the divine or with source or the universe, but it doesn't take away what's at the root of it, which is their source is available to us at any given time of the day. And how source shows up to us is reflective of what we're needing in the moment. So if I needed angels to show up, then an angel's going to show up. But if I didn't need an angel to show up and I needed something else to show up, something else would have shown up. So I try to just get people to pull back from the labels and all the identities that are associated with all this, and just know that there's an intelligence, an infinite intelligence that we're all connected to, that lives in us as ourselves. And sometimes we're disconnected from that. And sometimes we have different experiences that simply lead us back to it, to ourselves. And that's how I see angels. I don't see angels as these beings that make your life perfect, that take care of everything for you, that help you meet the man or the woman of your dreams and help you make a lot of money. That's not what I see their function. They're messengers, and they're there to guide us back to our own selves, back to taking responsibility for our lives and for ourselves, so we can understand our choice-making, so we can understand what's really at the root of making certain choices. And they hold this space of unconditional love for us, so we're able to let go of a lot of different things. And yeah, they give us guidance, but they're not doing the work for us because we still have free will and we still have choice. So, you know, angels came to me when I was going to commit suicide. And then most of what I know in my healing work and with readings, they taught me, you know. And a lot of this stuff really can't be quantified, because it's like, okay, what do they look like? Like, how big are they? How big are their wings? I don't know. I just can only tell you that there are loving presences that are around us. And people have talked about this hundreds and thousands of years in all religions across the world. And they call them angels. Indigenous tribes call them, you know, light beings, spirits, ancestors. You know, at the end of the day, what I want people to know is that they're not alone, and that if they ask for help, it's available to them. And all that they need to do to reconnect back to that infinite intelligence is to reconnect back to their hearts. Doesn't mean they got to meditate all day. Doesn't mean they need to pay thousands of dollars for all these classes, which that stuff is great. but we were all born with our own connection to Source, because Source lives in us as us. So that's all I want people to know at the end of the day, especially if they've been disillusioned, or because I don't want people to feel disillusioned, because disillusion brings disconnection, and disconnection brings lack of trust, lack of support. Then you're not grounded. Then you're not sure. You don't have the clarity that you want. So I want people to question and have a curiosity about whether something's true or not. But I don't want people to feel disillusioned, because I want them to know that that Source is available to them, for them, all day long, every day. And they just have to reconnect back to their heart and reconnect back to that infinite intelligence and infinite love.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah.
Thank you, Savon. We could talk about angels and this the theories behind the energies and what do we want to call it all day. I would love to do that. But what you were talking about with personal responsibility was the perfect segue into the topic for this series. So I would love to talk with you about forgiveness, radical acceptance, personal responsibility, compassion and self-compassion, because I feel like for myself, whether you want to label it as God or angels or luck or whatever, I feel like that has been those practices, those energies have been the most helpful in my growth. And I just feel like, oh, there's been so much going on in the world, and I've seen you posting about it on Facebook, and with a few fairly recently, there were the shootings in Miami in the gay nightclub, and now and most recently, there's been the Black Lives Matter movement because of police. You know what's been going on,
right? Police brutality and all the shootings, and absolutely.
And I can only imagine, and I've seen some of the way you've expressed yourself, I can only imagine how deeply that must impact you and how much anger it must trigger. And so I'm curious to know your thoughts about the balance between forgiveness and compassion for others while also standing up. This is not something that you can take lying down. Something needs to change. So how do you balance that?
That's a really good question. And I can only speak to what my personal experience has been like. Cause you know, I'm not the kind of person that likes to sugarcoat anything or give a general spiritual philosophized statement. And then just kind of put it out there and tell people to just pray and have faith and think positive thoughts, because that's not the reality of it. The reality is I am a Black man, I am a gay man, but I'm also a medium, a healer, and I work with spirit. And I do my best to stay as aware as I can on a daily basis and in my own alignment. I have been triggered to feel angry, to feel a lot of different emotions when innocent people are killed, when people are targeted and harassed and killed, and there's no legal recourse. It affects me and it hurts me on a really deep level. And so part of my process when I get triggered is to let myself feel what I'm feeling. Because to me, when I get triggered, it means that there's internal feedback from my soul speaking to me about something that's wanting to be healed, something in me that's wanting to be let go of. And so, for example, when the gay club in Florida was shot and I was hurting, I was grieving for the losses, but it also triggered me. And I wasn't sure what was really going on because I was so overwhelmed with so many different emotions, and then I was depressed. And so instead of distracting myself, I allowed myself to feel it. So I took responsibility for my own emotions. I allowed myself to sit in it as uncomfortable as it was without trying to make it go away or pray it away or focus on the law of attraction or anything. I sat in it because I'm aware enough to know when I'm feeling something, my emotions are also my guide and my teacher. And I went into the emotion, and what was coming up for me was my own sense of not feeling safe in the world as a person who is gay and also as a person who is a person of color, due to, you know, systemic racism that happens, a lot of, you know, systemic homophobia that happens, and all these different things that I've seen in the world that are kind of like embedded back in my subconscious were now all being triggered and coming to the surface. Once I was able to kind of hone in on what the situation was bringing up for me, then I used that, and I always say this in my work, I use that as an excuse to reach into a deeper, greater part of myself and bring that forward. So what that means is I said, okay, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe to express myself. I don't feel safe to be able to go to places where, you know, gay people can go, where they feel comfortable being themselves. Why don't I feel safe? Where's that coming from? Okay, how can I shift that? All right. And I'll literally start talking myself through it. And I'm like, all right, I'm disconnected from me right now. I'm disconnected from my source. And I'm over identifying with this emotion. So I need to let that go. I need to just let it go. And I just accepted, I let it go by accepting that I live in a world where this potentially could happen. And I don't have any control over anyone around me, but I do have control of myself. And I do have control of how it's going to affect how I feel. I do have control over what kind of thoughts I allow to run through my mind. And then I reminded myself that I am supported, that I do live in a world where there are loving people, where there are kind people. I do have a supportive group of friends and community of people that love me and support me. And I don't have to fear anything. That fear is false evidence appearing real. Now, it doesn't excuse the reality that's happened, but for me, I need to do something within my own process and practice to bring myself back into alignment. Because if I'm out of alignment and I'm not clear, then I'm reacting. If I'm reacting, then I'm no good to anybody. So, because any choice that I make comes from a reactionary space. But if I'm clear and I'm in my wholeness and I remember that the universe is supporting me, my angels are supporting me, that love is powerful. Love is what gives me my guidance. Love is what gives me my courage. Then any choice that I make comes from love. And then I can allow love to guide me. And I can say, what would love have me do? What would spirit have me do? Spirit may have me do healing videos. Spirit may have me post something inspirational. Or spirit may say, take action. You know, and I think a lot of light workers and healers and, you know, sensitive people tend to shy away from actually speaking out because they might feel like it's not spiritual. You know, I just want to focus on angels and love and light. And that's all great and good. And trust me, I'm right there with them. But what I learned in my own process is the divine feminine, the goddess energy, is there. So she brings us that intuition. She brings us that loving information. So we make the choice from love. And then I think of the divine masculine, or the aspect of the divine masculine, as that other voice that says, take the information that you received from love and now take action from love. So if I speak out, I'm speaking out from love. If I take action and I protest, or whatever it is that I'm being guided to do, because it's going to be different for everyone, I'm doing it from a space of love. I'm doing it from a space of alignment. And I always say, you know, Martin Luther King, I don't know this, but I know for a fact he had to be extremely intuitive, and he probably was a medium. He probably was clairvoyant, because he always talked about how God would show him visions, how he always saw a future where there'd be black kids and white kids and people of all different races getting along. And how did he know that? You know, something had to be guiding him, some force. Was it an angel? Was it consciousness? Was it source? You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is he was able to tune into his inner GPS system, that inner divinity, and then use that information to take right action. And so that's how I respond to it. You know, it's such a big issue, and there's really no one answer that's going to fix it all. Some people say focus on positivity, only see positivity, only think of positivity, you know, and that's great. But how do things shift if we don't all come together and make choices that support what our overall intention is, which is oneness? So we're going to have to make choices that support that. And, you know, thinking positive is great, but okay, we need to still make choices. We need to vote. We need to take action in the physical world, because we live in a physical world and in a system where we have to speak out, we have to have petitions, we have to gather people together in a calm and orderly fashion to speak out against these different things. And just for me in my own life, that's how I see changes happening. But again, it's just, that's just a small little minute potential solution to a problem that is systemic, to a problem that's gone on for so many years, to a problem that's so deeply embedded in all of us that it's going to take a lot to really shift things, you know, because a lot of the stuff that's going on are these subconscious fears and subconscious internal biases that we don't even realize exist within us. So when we talk about compassion and forgiveness, compassion to me, the first thing I learned about forgiveness for me is I can't forgive anyone until I can forgive myself. And if I can't be forgiving with myself, then I'll never be able to be forgiving with anyone else. But for me, in order to be forgiving towards myself, I'll give you a story here in a second. I have to first have compassion for myself, because compassion means that now I'm able to understand why I made a certain choice. And once I understand it, then I can forgive it. So for example, like I've had bad relationships. I know everyone listening can relate to this. I've had bad relationships, and I've had relationships where I knew going in, I was not supposed to date that person. I knew going in that they were not emotionally available. They were not mature. They weren't a vibrational or spiritual match for me. But my fear of being alone and my desire to wanting to love someone and wanting to be loved, I allowed to drive my choice to stay and to be with that person. And then the relationship ended, it blew up in my face. And then I was left with all this residue of losing myself, making choices that didn't support me, giving all my energy and power away to the other person. You know, I lost my identity. My self-worth wasn't where it needed to be, nor was my self-value. Then I was left with this big mess of trying to mend my own broken heart that I actually chose to break in the first place. And so what I did was, I accepted the fact that this was a mess that I made, and I accepted full responsibility for it. And then the next thing I did is once I accepted it, then I got to the root of why I allowed certain things to happen. Why did I make that choice? And I kept asking myself, Savon, why would you stay in a relationship where you knew you were being abandoned and you knew you were being cheated on and you weren't being valued? Why did you stay? And I got real with myself. And I was like, all right, it's time to get real. It's time to take full responsibility. And you're not going to tell any lies. We're only going to tell the truth. And I admitted to myself, I was afraid of being alone, which most people can identify with. I was afraid that, you know, if I didn't do everything I thought I needed to do to prove myself worthiness of this person, then they wouldn't love me back. So there's like all these limiting beliefs started to pop up. And I was willing to listen to myself, hear myself, and tell the truth. Then once I got to the core root of it and I had understanding about it, then I wasn't as mad at myself anymore, because I thought, all right, you made this choice because you were afraid that you were going to be alone. You didn't want to be alone. You wanted to be loved. So now that I had understanding for myself, then I was able to say, all right, I know you didn't do this on purpose to me. I know you didn't do it on purpose. And I know that you were scared and you just did what you could do because you were afraid. So I'm going to let you off the hook. Because I literally thought to myself, would I wake up one day and say, I'm going to date somebody that I know is going to hurt me? No. So I forgave myself. I took full responsibility once I had understanding, because understanding is what brings in compassion. Compassion allows you to see the humanity of other people. So you no longer see the issue. You see their humanity. You see their brokenness. You see their scars, and you see why they did what they did. It doesn't excuse it, but now you have a sense of understanding. And once you can understand, then you can forgive. So once we have compassion allows me to move into a space of alignment, a space of understanding. And forgiveness just means I'm now creating a space for giving myself more light, for giving myself more awareness, the awareness that I did not have when I made that choice. So when I made the choices to stay in the relationship, to not trust my intuition, to allow things to happen, I didn't have awareness when I made those choices, because I made those choices from fear. So the residue that I was left with was simply me being mad at myself for not having the awareness that I should have had in the beginning. So forgiveness, just come back full circle. And forgiveness is now I've created a space to give myself awareness for giving myself more light. Light meaning information. The information I didn't have in the beginning, but now I had that information. And the information that I have is a part of me was afraid of being alone. And that's why I chose that. And that's forgiveness and compassion and acceptance and personal responsibility. Like, that's my process. And if I can do that for myself, you know, then I have to put my money where my mouth is. I have to practice that when it comes to other people. You know, spiritual people always say love and light. And, you know, I love everybody. And it's like, okay, well, go to a place where everything isn't love and light. Go to a place where there's a lot of violence. Go downtown to be around poor people and the hookers and the drug dealers and those that are homeless and people that are completely disconnected and disillusioned with life. And let's see if you can hold that space of love and light and compassion for them. And so that's how I approach things that happen in the world. I try to look at it from first I let myself react because I'm a human and I'm allowed to get mad and pissed off and curse. And then I give myself 10 minutes for that. And then I pull back and I'm like, okay, what's actually happening here? Let me look at things from through the eyes of love, through the eyes of source. I'm an unconditionally loving space, you know, and it always comes back to the same thing for me. All those things that keep us from a sense of oneness within ourselves and a sense of oneness with each other are all coming to the surface to be dealt with, to push us to finally step into a space of oneness. And people are afraid. Black people are afraid. White people are afraid. All other kinds of people are afraid of one another. The police are afraid. You know, then there's other people that are afraid of the police. So it's all this fear, you know? And so when there's so much fear that's in your space, you're not thinking clearly. So you don't make clear choices. And then you forget, wait a minute, we're the same. We're the same. You're the same. I'm the same. You know, we both want to feel safe and we both want to be loved. And so then I understand that people are acting from fear and from anger and from hurt. And it doesn't excuse what they're doing, but for me, it allows me to have a sense of understanding so I can pull myself out of judgment and anger and move into love, because love is my greatest power. And once I'm into love, then whatever I say, however I choose to act comes from a space of love, and then everyone around me benefits. And I think people sometimes forget that. You know, because if I judge, you know, then I become the judge and I become a person that needs to judge. And I'm not able to see the humanity of the person that actually committed the crime. And then you see what I'm saying? Like, if I go around and I always judge the police and I only judge the criminals, how awful they are. They're in such a lower space of consciousness. And, then I don't even see them as humans. I just see them as these perpetrators of these awful things. But as a spiritual teacher and as a person that's on my path, you know, it's just who I am by nature to see their humanity. So then I try to understand, I go deeper intuitively. Okay, what drove that person to make that choice? Oh, they were afraid. Oh, they were abused in their life. You know, all these other things happened that led to them making that choice. And it doesn't excuse what they did, but it allows me to see their humanity. And it allows me, once you see someone's humanity and you can understand their choice making, then it helps you to understand what choices to make to help bring balance and to bring healing. Because then you're speaking to a part of their soul that's broken and that's hurting, rather than speaking to the part of them that did the crime or committed the act. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Savon. We are speaking with Savon Champel. You can find him at savonchampel.com. He is a psychic clairvoyant medium and spiritual teacher. He works with the angels, and I'm so excited to have you on the show today. And Savon, it sounds like you were also saying, like, there was so much there in what you were sharing that, first of all, we all go through anger and fear. And I think
absolutely
anger is just the reaction to fear. We feel fear and then we get angry.
Yeah.
And at some point we need to have compassion for ourselves, because that's a natural response is to get angry, and then we take personal responsibility.
Yes.
Then we have more self-compassion for why we, what role we may be playing in that situation. And from there, then we can extend that compassion to other people. But it doesn't, because I find for myself that as soon as I notice anger, fear, or judgment towards other people, my natural response, I'm trying to change my natural response, but naturally I go to, as soon as I recognize that, then I start being disappointed in myself or angry mm-hmm. with myself for feeling that anger.
I still go through it. And a lot of what I believe happens with all of us that want to become more conscious and self-aware is we have this image of perfection that does not exist, that says we're always supposed to be in alignment, always supposed to be in love. No, like, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to feel every emotion in the book, rage, anger, jealousy, discontentment, apathy. All those emotions are okay. The thing you don't want to do is stay there or allow that to drive your choice making. But you have to let yourself feel what you're feeling and give yourself permission to just be a human. It means that you're alive. If you're feeling something, then you're alive. So feel it, but because you have to feel it to heal it. And if something's triggered in you, I go back to what I said earlier. It's internal feedback from your soul about something that wants to be brought to your attention. So even if something happened outside of you that made you angry to see it, there's also something inside of you that's wanting to be healed that it triggered. Otherwise, you would be able to hold a space of neutrality around it. So if there's something that triggers you or infuriates you, it's actually a blessing in disguise. It's like your soul saying, hey, I just want to bring your attention to something right here that you need to take a look at. You know, when I used to judge people all the time because I was extremely judgmental and self-righteous when I started my spiritual path, it was because I was always judging myself and I held myself to this standard of purity that if anyone else didn't fit in that box, it made me uncomfortable to be around them because I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see in others what I didn't like in myself, what I judged in myself. So then I learned that judgment of others is really internal, like resentment and internal rejection of the self. And again, we have to be flexible and give ourselves room to make choices. No one's going to ever go through life never judging again. It's always going to come up. It's just really about developing tools to manage your choice making. So being judgmental is okay. Being superficial is okay. The thing you don't want to do is is over-identify with it. So you ask yourself, okay, I'm judging. What am I judging? What is this bringing up in me? Like, I always take it back to myself, but we have to be compassionate with ourselves and remember that love and light and angels and meditation and crystals doesn't mean that I'm going to be nice all the time and silence my voice and never allow my inner being to express itself. You know, so many people are so high strung and they don't allow themselves to express anything, and they're putting so much pressure on themselves to achieve this spiritual sense of enlightenment where they, like, nothing can touch them. And just for me, I don't think that that's realistic. You know, I don't know anybody that meditates more than I do. And I don't know anyone that spends hours communicating with my higher self and the angels and spirit more than I do. And then I realized that I wasn't living, that we have a body for a reason. And so all these experiences that we have are helping our soul to grow. You know, there's wisdom in every choice. Even if we make a choice that doesn't serve us, there's wisdom in that. There's something in there, a diamond in there to help us, you know? And I've been saying lately that the soul is such a dynamic force in all of us. It will always facilitate experiences and draw experiences to it in your life to help it to grow, to help it to blossom, to help it to awaken. And so when we talk about personal responsibility, we're really talking about, okay, how is this reflective of something that's in me that's wanting to be brought into a space of alignment that's incongruent with who I really am? You know, because we got to put our money where our mouths are. We say we're loving beings and we're light workers and we're all of that, okay, well, we're going to be triggered a lot, because now, like, once you declare yourself to be a thing, anything else that's unlike it in you or around you has to show up so it can leave and fall away to create space for what you're wanting to come through. And so when I talk about responsibility and forgiveness and compassion, I talk about it in a realistic way, because people are hurting. People want real answers. You know, I love the people that talk from a really high level of, you know, spiritual philosophy and higher dimensions and frequency and all that good stuff. Like, I can go there if I need to. But what I know now is people want real answers. They want tools. They want to know, you're a spiritual teacher, how did you do it? So I tell people my story. I let them see inside of my life and what I went through and what my process was. Because once they're able to relate to me and they see my humanity, then it clicks for them. Then they know, okay, I can do it. This is what Savon did. I'm going to do that. Or that makes sense. That happens to me all the time. So, you know, I know that's a long-winded way of saying it, but the key is to be flexible with ourselves and be compassionate with ourselves. And remember, it's a journey. This is a classroom. And no one's expecting us to be perfect and to have it all figured out. And no one's expecting us to know everything and to always have the right, loving, most spirit. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can say is screw it. I was going to say another word, but I don't want to say a curse word. But sometimes the most spiritual thing you can say is screw it. I'm done. I can't. Because it's coming from a real place and it's just moving you into a space of surrender and letting go. You know, it doesn't always have to be words of affirmation and things that are positive. Because then we're trying to live up to a standard that doesn't exist. We'll never be satisfied. We'll never be in a space of contentment. We'll never have internal peace. And no one wants to live like that. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be fun. You know, it's supposed to give us tools to manage life, not make life perfect, but to manage life. So no matter what comes our way, we can do our best to make the right choice in the moment from a space of love and awareness versus reacting. So when we talk about the angels, when I was talking about the angels earlier, that's how the angels show up in my life. They don't make everything perfect. They don't say, do this. This is the right thing to do. It's like, okay, a real life situation is happening. I'm not sure what I need to do. Angels help guide me to make the best possible choice within the context of what's happening now. Sometimes I hear do nothing. Sometimes I hear this is what you need to do and this is what you need to face. And it's going to be okay and we'll support you through it. So go ahead and put your big boy pants on and make the choice, you know, and I do it. And then when I look back on the experience, I realize that it was helping me to be more empowered, helping me to find my voice, helping me to learn to speak up for myself. Compassion for self is the key. And you can't share anything with anyone else and that you haven't shared with yourself. If you don't know how to have compassion for yourself, then your compassion will be conditional because it's conditional with yourself. Then your love will be conditional. Your forgiveness will be conditional. Then you'll only forgive certain things that don't trigger you. And then things that trigger you, you're like, no, I can't forgive that. That's unforgivable. And everything's forgivable. Everything's forgivable.
Thank you, Savon.
Thank you.
What you said, there was so much there that resonated with me. And one of the things that I am noticing more and more, and they use... people use that analogy of the layers of an onion. And I feel like as we uncover more layers, like you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, so absolutely.
As you're learning, we're constantly learning and growing and developing, hopefully, right? Mm-hmm. If we're on this path, that's our intention, is to grow. And one of the things I notice when you were talking about the early days of being on this path and how you would be self-righteous, I noticed that within myself, and it's kind of this internal battle, because I know that self-righteousness is not going to get anybody on my side unless I'm teaming up with other people who just want to be right. Self-righteous with me.
Right.
And at the same time, it almost comes from, while it self-righteousness is sort of a judgment, but it also comes from wanting more for those people. Like if I see someone who is struggling, I may notice this self-righteous thought, well, they should just take personal responsibility, or they should just forgive, or whatever. And I'm learning to like shut up and not say that, because it's all rude and not going to be heard. But I want to get to that level where I'm able to be that presence of Marie in the world and serve as an example, as a way to serve and to help for people who are looking for that. Not absolutely. Because I kind of like, I feel like I want to teach a lot, and people don't necessarily want to be taught. They want to, they're on their own path. It's not my job to grab their arm and say, hey, I need to teach you something. You need to learn this. So how did you get to that point? Do you have any advice or any questions that might help?
Yeah, I have a lot. I feel like I've been around the world and right? So the first thing I will say that helps me and really supports me doesn't mean I have everything figured out, nor does it mean that I'm perfect. But I have a willingness to compassionately confront myself. I have this insatiable desire, I don't know where it comes from, but to compassionately confront myself. So I get real with myself. So when I'm triggered, this is my rule. Say, Vaughn, you can have 10 minutes to feel or think whatever you're wanting to feel or think. Because sometimes you just need to sit in your shit. Sometimes you just need to sit and feel, you know, one of the things that irritates me is whenever I'm having a bad day or a real human moment, and the person's response to me is, you know what, focus on your vortex, focus on alignment, you know, call on your angels. And I'm like, you know what you could do for me right now? Like, I'm not trying to hear that. Like, I just, sometimes we need a moment to be in our stuff. So I give myself 10 minutes. I yell, scream, I get an attitude. I'm like, I play victim for 10 minutes. And then after that, I'm like, okay, Savon, you like, brother, you need to get it together. Like, let's get it together. What's really going on? What's at the root of this? And so I learned that when I compassionately confront my stuff, it brings me into a greater state of awareness and beingness, because then I'm moving out of my space, what isn't me, and I create space for more of me to show up, and everyone else around me benefits. Then I don't need to preach or to say anything to anybody, because both in a grounded way, and when we talk frequency and spirituality, I increase my vibration, I bring myself into a greater sense of alignment, right? My light is brighter. People benefit from that. The reason why people benefit from that is because if I hold a certain space of awareness or consciousness, and I'm in my heart, I'll just keep it simple, I'm in my heart and it's beaming, wherever I go, there's a space of just grace and alignment that's held in that environment. So then the potential for people to step into that for themselves is also there, because now I'm in the room. It's like when you take a crystal and you put it in the room and it changes the vibration of the room. It doesn't mean everyone's gonna vibrate at the level of the crystal. It means the potential is there. And if the potential is there, their soul, their guides, their beingness, they'll eventually get there, because everybody wants to feel good and everybody wants to feel loved and in alignment. They just don't know how to get there. So if you hold that space, you know, it's like when, you know, have you ever been in a bad mood and had like a really crappy day, and then you notice someone laughing, or you notice someone playing with a child or playing with the animal. You see one of them crazy cat videos that people always share on the internet, and you look at it, and then after a while, something in you says, you know what, I'm going to let that go, because this is funny. I want to laugh. I want to feel good. It's like you intuitively know. That video held the space, held that vibration. No one told you to snap out of it. You snapped out of it on your own because of the space that was held around you. So it brought you back to yourself. It helped you let go of resistance. And so when you're in a space of non-resistance and you're around other people, those that want to choose that can choose it. it's like you're holding up subconsciously or subliminally in the room, hey, you guys want to connect back to your heart again. This is what I'm doing. But you don't have to say it, but you're saying it through your presence, through your beingness. And the greatest example to anybody is to show them instead of saying it. Because sometimes when we try to say it, the ego is so clever. Judgment creeps in there. It's sometimes it's a challenge to say it without that little bit of judgment, a little bit of self-righteousness, a little bit of I'm better than you or I'm more elevated comes in. The best thing I can do is hold that unconditional loving space. And that inspires people. Then if they want to dialogue with you, they might say, like, what are you doing? You're always in a good mood. Like, what's going on with you? And then you can say, oh my God, like, you know what? I just forgive myself all the time. I'm very forgiving with myself. I learned to let a lot of stuff go. I don't beat myself up anymore. And it's just made a difference in my life. And then the person may say, oh, and they may not say anything, but all those seeds are now planted in their own consciousness and it will take hold. And eventually they'll learn by your doing. And so that's how I look at it. I still have my moments where I judge people. Like, I'm not going to lie, but I catch myself. I try to look at what is it about them that is triggering me? What is it that they're doing that if I did the same thing, I wouldn't like it and I would judge myself. And then I deal with myself. That's how I handle it. And I also know everybody has their journey. Everyone's learning on a soul level. No matter how hard I try, I can't make people choose to connect to their heart and choose to live in alignment, no matter how much I talk. But I can show them through my example. And I've learned this because my videos and my Facebook posts have influenced a lot of people because they write me and they say, I wasn't into all this stuff. And now because of your stuff, like, I want to be more positive. And I notice people starting to post more positivity in their own way, whatever resonates for them, you know? And so if I'm able to spark that in other people through my example, then that's how I do it without having to preach to people. And then those that are interested will come to you. And then those that aren't, or that might seem like they're not interested, they're really interested. They might just be afraid or unsure, but they're watching you. So I just, it all goes back to compassionately confronting my stuff, stepping into my alignment, and just living that and being that. And to the best of my ability, you know, sometimes it's hard. I'm not going to lie, because, you know, I'm a human. If I wasn't a human, I'm sure it'd be a lot easier, because I wouldn't have to deal with duality here on the planet. But I'm in a body, and I learn when I have those moments. But those moments aren't, you know, they're few and far in between. When I was in my 20s, I'm 39 now, when I was in my 20s, I was upset all the time, you know? I was like, oh my God, they're so low vibrational. They're just, oh, like if they could just meditate, they need to just, oh, I hate talking about this and superficial stuff, and I only want to talk about spirituality. But it was because I had this image of perfection in my mind that I created, a condition that kept me safe in a box and kept me from confronting my stuff. And once I broke through that box and I understood what it was, for the most part, I can hold a space of neutrality around anybody, because I know instead of me judging them, when I judge them, I don't see them as a human. I don't see them as my brother or my sister. But if I can see their humanity, and I'll use a prostitute as an example, right? Because people judge prostitutes, you know, they're selling sex and they're, you know, out there and they're doing all these crazy things. I can look at a man or a woman and judge them for being a prostitute, or I could look deeper to understand how they got to that position. So I can understand the human and understand their flaws and understand their wounds. That allows me to have compassion for them. So then if I'm around them, I don't have to say anything, but they feel pure unconditional love coming from me, and that's healing for them. But if I'm around them and I'm judging them, people know when you're judging them. They can feel it. There's an energy. And I've also learned that whatever I give, I only get to keep what I give. So if I'm judging people, then I'm going to feel like crap all day because I'm full of judgment, because all I'm doing is giving out judgment. But if I give out unconditional love and compassion, that's what flows into me and through me, you know, and that's my job. My job is to just be the beacon but not say anything. And sometimes that's all people need. Sometimes people just need to feel that you're not going to judge them and that you're going to allow them to show up and to be. And that in and of itself for them could change their life and transform their life. And they may have a moment where they may say, you know what, I'm going to change my life around, like, because I'm worth it, because of something that you did, but you didn't say, but you just held that space of love around them. You know, and this stuff works. Like, I'm not just saying this because I read this in a book. Everything that I talk about, I live it, because I grew up in the hood. I grew up around drug dealers. I've been around a lot of different types of people that triggered me a lot. And then I knew that spirit was putting me in those spaces so I could see things about myself to heal. But also, your light's always sent where you're needed. And I had to learn that what they needed wasn't another preacher, wasn't another person talking about chakras and alignment. They just needed someone to be around them that loved them, that really saw them. And when I learned that, I swear to you, even now it's I'm getting chills, because that's my power. That's my power, to be able to look at someone and see the wholeness of who they are and only see that and not see anything else. There's like an energy transference that happens, and then people start to see themselves through what I'm reflecting back to them, and that's all that I need to do. You know, I know that was a lot, and I know I'm talking a lot, but a lot of this is just kind of flowing through me, so.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I just wish we could keep going. We're out of time for the show. We can talk a little bit more if we want to keep this going on youtube.com/spiritualshow. Yeah, I'm just wondering. So let's sign off for synchronicity, and then I'll ask if there's anything else you want to add for the people, for the fabulous people watching on YouTube. So thank you so much to Savon Champel. You can go to his website, savonchampel.com. I've been your host, Marie Bernard. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And I want to send you lots of love. Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Horrific on CITR.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah, 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
My name's Chris Horrific.
We always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday
from 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
But if Lucifer were here, he'd tell you